With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
You'll notice the title for this series, If I Should Die Before I Wake. Did you learn that prayer growing up like I did? Listen, that, like many, many children's statements, is fantastically insightful and theologically accurate. Because when we die, the Lord does not take our body. He takes our soul, because that's what's happened in the unnatural act of death.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, The Bible and Death, Spread to All Men. It's a part of our series, Eternity in Biblical Perspective, If I Should Die Before I Wake. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. This bedtime prayer is not only familiar, but also theologically accurate and insightful. Physical death is biblically defined as the separation of the soul from the body, and along with spiritual death and eternal death, results from the entrance of sin into the human race. How does the Bible trace the spread of death from one man to all mankind? If you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15. Here again is Harry Reeder with part one of the message, The Bible and Death, Spread to All Men.
Take your Bibles and please turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. But before I go there, you'll notice the title for this series, If I Should Die Before I Wake. Can anybody finish that? Now, did you learn that prayer growing up like I did? If I should die before I wake, I... Listen, that, like many, many children's statements, is fantastically insightful and theologically accurate. Because when we die, if we die before Jesus comes, the Lord does not take our body. He takes what? Our soul. He takes our soul, because that's what's happened in the unnatural act of death. So we are not Darwinian, materialist, atheistic evolutionists. We do not believe that death is a part of life. It's an enemy. It's an intruder. Death is not natural. It doesn't show up in Genesis 1 and 2. It shows up in Genesis 3. And it's the curse that comes because of sin. The day of your disobedience, the day you eat of it, you shall die. And we find out that actually it's three deaths that come because of sin as enemies into this world. One is eternal death. The word death is the word thanatos. It means a radical separation. A separation of things that were not made to be separated. Hell is not natural. Hell is created for those who rebelled against the Lord, the devil and his angels, and all who would not follow him, the Lord of glory. God made us to fellowship with him forever. Eternal death is not natural. It is a curse of sin. Separate from me. Depart from me. You workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. Secondly, we're born dead in our sins. Our sin nature separates us from God. Now, that doesn't separate God from dealing with us, but we are separated from an intimacy with God. Now, we still have the Imago Deo. We know there's a God. You don't meet five-year-old atheists. They got to work at it. They have to work at it immediately. One of my favorite stories, just right up here in North Alabama, is the young lady that was a member of what is now a PCA church up in Tuscumbia, and her name was Helen Keller. And when they broke through with the sign language in the palm of her hand, because she couldn't see, she couldn't speak, she couldn't hear, and she was shut up in that silence. And when Ann Sullivan broke through, they spelled water. That was the first thing. And then they went to another, and they went to another, and it almost became like a cascade itself of word after word. And finally, Ann Sullivan got to the word God, and she said, "Do you know him?" And she signed back into Ann Sullivan's head, "Oh, yes, I just didn't have a word for him." We are born Imago Deo. We know there's a God. We know that there is a God that exists, and the only way that is open to deny God is to be professing to be wise. They become fools by what? Suppressing the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. The motivation is not a lack of information. The motivation is moral. In unrighteousness, we suppress the knowledge of who God is, shouting to us from general revelation outside of us and inside of us through conscience, because we are made in the image of God. So we're born spiritually dead in our sin because of the curse of sin. Thirdly, the one that we're focused upon right now, how we step into eternity and how we step to the other side, death, the door of death, that also is the word separation. It is the separation of two things that were not made to be separated. You'll remember 2 weeks ago, we saw that when Adam was created, he was a corpse from the dust, and that he was not living until God breathed into that body the breath of life. Now, Adam's body was not a car that carried the passenger of his soul or his spirit. Adam's body and that soul that was breathed in is like two threads in one cloth. That's the best way to look at it. And therefore, the rendering of the soul from the body, which is what physical death is, the rendering from the soul from the body is, in fact, unnatural. And therefore, it appears in Genesis 3. Now, how do we get this definition that death is the separation of the soul from the body? Well, if you look at James chapter 2, here is one of many passages that give us some insight into it. James chapter 2, look with me at verse 26 at the end of the chapter. In the context of dealing with saving faith manifested by works, he says in verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Now, if you don't mind, I'm not going to deal with that theological issue of the right relationship of faith and works. What I want to go to is what he is using as a illustration. What is dead? The body is dead without what? Without the soul, without the spirit. Now, Pastor, are you telling me that we are body and soul? Yes, I am. Now, Pastor, I heard people telling me we're body, soul, and spirit. Well, I would encourage you to just really think through that. I believe what the Bible teaches is that soul and spirit are referring to the same thing, but emphasizing two different dynamics. A lot of times, in fact, that which is made in the image of God, that which makes you, you, is sometimes called soul, and its turned relationship to God's spirit by its enlivening presence within you that brings life. Sometimes it's called mind, sometimes it's called heart. That we have multiple terms in the Bible that are used to refer to that part of you that is made in the image of God. Your body comes in the image of your parents, for God is a spirit. He has no bodily parts. And therefore, when your body is not an image bearer of God, your body bears the image of your parents. I mean, every morning I look in the mirror and I said, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my daddy after all. And it's amazing how this thing just keeps going further and further in that direction. But what is made in the image of God, that makes you you. That body, without that soul, without that spirit, is a corpse. So let's go back to creation. In creation, Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. But he was a corpse at that point until God breathed into that body the breath of life, that he became a living soul. That's what happens. Now, what happens at death? It is the unnatural separation of that soul from the body. That is the unnatural separation of it. And so the soul departs from the body, which is why Jesus tells us, do not fear those that can kill the body. Fear him who alone can kill both body and soul. There is only one that can do that. So what is death? Death is that ordained consequence, not only of spiritual death and eternal death, but also physical death. That's why the prayer was right. If I should die before I wake, the assumption in that prayer is that your soul has departed. Therefore, I pray, Lord, you, my soul, do take into that glorious intermediate state that we're going to cover in about 3 weeks. That glorious intermediate state, absent when you die, absent from the what? Body. What's absent from the body? The soul. Present with the Lord. What's present with the Lord? My soul he has took to himself. So that's what we are learning from the Word of God. Now today, while you are still living, is the day to deal with death. Biblically understand it and embrace God's solution to it. And embrace the joy of the assurance of God's solution to it. Today, death, let's deal with it while living. Not in the times of dying alone. But now while you're living, Harry, why? Don't you believe in deathbed conversions? Sure, I can show you one. It's on the cross. I can show you one in the Bible. It's the cross. But it's the only one in the Bible. Here's the fact. You basically die the way you live. I have seen deathbed conversions that I think were real, and I praise God for it. And I can believe in deathbed conversions because I've got one in the Bible. But I agree with Bishop Ryle in his commentary on that conversion. Here is a deathbed conversion. There is one, so we lose not hope, but only one, lest we be presumptuous. The Bible is very basically clear. By and large, men and women die the way they live. Don't wait till you're dying to deal with the reality of death and God's solution to death. I have people who ask me time and time again, Pastor, aren't you upset when people come to Jesus? Aren't you upset when they come to Jesus at the last moment? Doesn't that upset you? And I said, yes, it upsets me. And they said, well, I can understand why. They just get all this fun and then at the last minute they convert. I said, oh, no, no. I didn't get upset because of that. I get upset because I know all that they missed because they didn't get converted to the end. What they had was emptiness, vanity. That's what they had. Oh, how I wish they had known him in their life and not just at their death. So we want to deal with death while we're living. There's another reason. Ecclesiastes that I just referred to tells us that man knows not his time. But you do know there is a time. That's why Ecclesiastes also says God has put eternity in the heart of a man. We know my series is important. Eternity in biblical perspective. Every man knows it. Every woman knows it. Every boy and every girl knows it. That door whereby we step into eternity is death. On the other side of it, there is no work of grace. It is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. So today is the day of salvation from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, today is the day we need to understand it. Not only its origin, not only its definition that we have done, but how do I know that everybody I minister to, everybody I know will die if Jesus doesn't come back first? Because Romans 5 says to me, death spread to all men. Now, why does it spread to all men? All men. Couldn't there be just some man who would take the word of God, he's born into this world, and in thought, word, and deed, not sin? Isn't there a possibility that there can be another Adam who will do what the first Adam shall do? Well, from the sons of Adam, the answer is no. But from God's gift of a second Adam, the answer is yes. But from the sons of Adam, no. Why? Because they're born with a sin nature from the original sin by Adam himself. And why are they born with the original sin? By the sin that Adam created, because they were there in Adam when he sinned. From divine decree, and by the way, I'm now quoting a Puritan. I want to give credit to where, of course, he's not still around to hold me accountable, but I want to be ethical on this. So let me quote Thomas Godwin. From divine decree, from divine perspective, from divine, I'm paraphrasing, but it's him. From divine decree and from divine perspective, from the eyes of God, there have only been two men that ever existed. Adam and the second Adam, Jesus. In the first Adam, we were all in him. When he sinned, we sinned. Therefore, we, sons and daughters of Adam, are born with a sin nature, and therefore we sin, and we die, because we died in Adam. There is another Adam, in whom are the elect of God, and in this Adam, who never sinned in thought, word, or deed, but with perfection grew in the wisdom, in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. In that Adam, all of those in him live. So, my dear friends, what I have just rejected for you is the doctrines of Pelagianism or semi-Pelagianism, that every man or woman is born as their own Adam. No, we are born as sons and daughters of Adam. And when Adam sinned, we sinned. And when the curse of sin fell upon Adam, the curse of sin fell upon us. And when we are born with that sin nature. Therefore, we sin. It is not you are born la tabla rosa, you are a blank tablet, and then sin. You are born a sinner, and you sin. And you had already in Adam participated in Adam's sin. He is the federal head. God established a covenant with him and all of his seed. And when he sinned, we sinned. If you'll take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'll tell you what, I'm going to reverse this from what I planned on doing. If you don't mind, go first to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go there first. We'll go from the simple summation to the more in-depth explanation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, of course, it's that great exposition of the resurrection. And in this glorious exposition, notice what it says. If you'll go down with me to verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means it's going to come. If he's the first fruits, what is it? You got some more coming with him. Who are those coming with him? Those who are his are going to be resurrected unto eternal life. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now watch. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. Who is the man that brought death with his sin? Come on. Adam. Who is the man who with his righteousness and atoning death and resurrection has brought life? Jesus, the second Adam. So the next verse goes into further explanation for you. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. In Adam, we died because we were in Adam when he sinned. So in Adam, we die. All die. So also in Christ shall all be made alive. All in Christ shall be made alive. Now watch. I wish I had a blackboard here. Adam, second Adam. Adam, all what? This is good. Come on. Die. Second Adam, all what? Live. Now, the question is, what do you think people try to teach from that? Come on. Come on, y'all are smart. That everybody saved. Was everybody lost under Adam? And everybody is saved under Jesus. Yes. But here's what you got to realize. Two different Adams, two different alls. The all of Adam is humanity. The all of Christ is the elect. The elect of God. When Jesus was going to the cross, what does he say? Father, all whom you've given me. Who did the Father give him? The elect. All whom you've given me, I will lose not one, but raise them up. I'll be the first fruits. I'll raise them up on the last day. Two Adams, two alls. The all of Adam, humanity, dead. Spiritually dead. Physically dead. Facing eternal death. The all in Christ, the elect, live, and even though they die physically, shall they live forever. Now, just to substantiate that, go to the next verse with me. So all in Christ, so notice what he says, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, who is he going to raise to life eternal? Those who are Christ. Those who belong to Christ. Who are those who belong to Christ? The elect of God.
We live in a cursed and fallen world because of the sin and disobedience of the first Adam. But Jesus Christ, the second Adam, bore the terrible curse of our sin so we could enjoy everlasting blessing through faith in Him. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, Eternity in Biblical Perspective, If I Should Die Before I Wake. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request The Bible and Death, Spread to All Men, or simply ask for message number 15352. Again, that's message number 15352. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email imperspective@briarwood.org. What happens when I die? It's a question every person asks at some point in life. Pastor Reeder uses various biblical texts to examine this issue we all will face. This series deals with issues such as, what happens immediately when I die? What is the intermediate state? What is the judgment and the lake of fire? What will the new heavens and new earth be like? Everyone, regardless of your belief system, wants to know, what happens when I die? Here is your opportunity to find out what the Bible has to tell us. This 7-message CD set is yours for just $20. To order your set, go to briarwood.org/when I die. That's briarwood.org/when I die. We hope today's In Perspective broadcast has been used to strengthen your walk in Christ and your understanding of God's Word. For additional resources that will encourage your Christian faith, we invite you to download our free app. Simply go to your favorite app store and type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll be able to listen to today's teaching by Harry, along with all of our archived programs. The app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write to us and let us know if In Perspective is making a difference in your life. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.